But now we are in a new year, and with a new year for our church family and church life comes a new memory verse and a new theme. And so I'm going to start with the memory verse that we'll use to give us some spiritual direction through 2018. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and this is what it says. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let's break down that verse into phrases. Let's start with the first one. Do your best. Really? I mean, what does that even mean? Do your best. I mean, parents tell their kids this all the time. Do your best. All I ask is that you do your best. If you get a C and you did your best, I'm fine with a C. But if you didn't do your best and got a C, I'm not fine. Well, what does it mean to do your best? Clean your room. I want you to do your best when you clean your room. And then you inspect the room and the carpet's still dirty and there's still four glasses and five plates and three aluminum cans. And is this your best? It was my best. And then what do we say as parents? Guess what, buddy? Your best just isn't cutting it around here. What does Paul mean when he says, do your best? That word is really talking about diligence, effort, and motivation. All right, you did your best on this test. Now describe to me your effort before this test. Was it studying in the hallway before the test? Was it 5 minutes? Was it 30 minutes? Tell me about your effort. Tell me about your enthusiasm when it came to cleaning the room. Were you mad at mom and dad? You didn't really want to clean the room, and that's why it ended up the way it ended, pretty much the way it started. Tell me about your effort. Tell me about your motivation. Hey, motivation's everything when it comes to doing your best. I mean, when you're on a flight, you boarded your flight, and the flight attendant is going through the rundown of what to do in case of an emergency. I'm guessing most of you don't do your best to listen. But if those same warnings are coming 30 seconds before impact, and she's telling you what to do to brace yourself, I'm guessing you're probably doing your best to listen. You see how motivation works into this idea of doing your best? Have you ever lost your motivation to go to church or read the Bible? Or to be hospitable to others? Have you ever lost your motivation to be the kind of spouse, child, or parent that God has called you to be? Have you ever found yourself kind of in no man's land at a certain part of your life, just kind of going through the motions, but really not having the motivation to do so? What's our motivation for doing our best as a church? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what's been done for us through the powerful work of Jesus in our lives, so that even when we're not feeling it, even when we don't really want to, the gospel motivates us to get up another day and another day and another day to do our best, to put the effort forth, because we're just so grateful to Jesus. Now look at the next phrase, to present yourself to God as one approved. Now that language, to present yourself in the Bible, kind of connects to marriage imagery, where a bride is presenting herself to her husband on their day of union, their wedding day. Boy, I remember when I first laid eyes on my wife on our wedding day, coming down the aisle, I started crying. She had done her best to present herself to me, and I was well pleased. When you go on that job interview, do you think about the way you present yourself as one approved? A young man studied under a renowned master, and when his first big recital came, after each number, the crowd roared with applause. After his final number, the crowd stood up and applauded. And yet, through all of the applause during and at the end of the recital, the young man seemed dissatisfied. He seemed unhappy. But as the crowd stood up and applauded, he started to look at the balcony, at an old man in the balcony. And when the old man stood up, smiled, and applauded, Then the young man was filled with joy. You see, he wasn't playing for the applause of the crowd. He was playing for the applause of his master who had taught him how to play. Now, you got to look at your life this year and ask, whose approval are you really looking for? Is it the approval of the crowd? Is that your main motivation, the approval of certain people in your life, people that employ you, people that are married to you? What approval are you looking for? And what this verse is saying is that in the kingdom of God, first and foremost, we always look for the approval of God, to present ourselves to God as one that he approves of. The next phrase, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. That word workman's talking about a craftsman or a carpenter. What's a carpenter ever got to be ashamed of? Well, it's when he does a lousy job, right? Now, that's pretty shameful. When Diane and I were building our house 5 years ago, we weren't building it. We were paying somebody else to build it. What can I build? But we would go every week and kind of look at what they were building. And I remember one day, man, I saw this wall and it was crooked. I mean, the floor, and it was crooked. How does that happen? I took a picture, sent it to my guy, and he said, oh, we can definitely fix that. All right, well how did that happen? Who did that and walked away thinking that's the way it should be? Someone who ought to be ashamed, right? Someone who cuts corners with his work. Someone who doesn't do his best to present himself as one approved. Do we ever cut corners? When we're teaching a class at church, do we ever fail to prepare the way we should? In our prayer life, do we just rush through the words? Do we cut corners so that we can get on to something else? In our marriages, do we allow ourselves to cut corners and mistreat each other without repenting before each other and just kind of move on? People who do not need to be ashamed are people driven by the power of the gospel to do their best as they present themselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. When you're standing before God each day of your life, and you're presenting your work before God each day of your life, you want to hang your head in shame knowing you didn't do your best for God? Or do you want to end each day knowing that you sought his approval throughout that day in your life? The final words, and who correctly handles the word of truth. To correctly handle is like to drive a straight path towards. That's what that phrase is talking about. And so what direction is the workman cutting a path towards? Well, here it says towards the word of truth. The workman's just always just cutting towards the word of truth. You see, the foundation of human life is the word of truth. It is the creator of this world. It is God through Jesus Christ. And it is impossible. It is impossible to cut a straight path when one lives without recognition, consciousness, and worship of the creator who made him or her. I mean, it is the reason why so much in our world is out of whack. Because we have disconnected ourselves from the word of truth. This may shock you. It did me when I read it. And I remember, yeah, it was a long time ago in the history of our country. Woodrow Wilson was our president, number 28, if you don't remember. And this is what he said one day. He said, there are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution of those problems just in the proportion that I am faithful in the study of the Word of God. I ask every man and woman that from this day on, they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this great book. I don't think you could say that anymore and get elected or stay elected. This was like a different time. But he's just echoing what the gospel teaches us and how we as a church believe and live. That the solution to our problems is not the government and it's not the educational system. The solution to our problems is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you have problems in your life, do you cut a straight path to the word of truth? Or have you kind of swallowed the lie so many have swallowed, which says the solution is somewhere else? For your marriage, for your home, your family, for your whatever it is. No, there's only one solution, and that is the word of truth. It gives us singular focus, this one sharp focus as we build works in our lives. So, do your best is about diligence to present yourself to one to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. That's about relationship. You're in a relationship with your Creator. That's what's motivating you to do your best, and who correctly handles the word of truth. That's foundation. That's the foundation of your life. Okay, I can just sense the excitement. Man, this memory verse is awesome. But what's our theme for 2018? Are you ready? Are you excited? Of course you are. I know you are. You live for this day. The theme for 2018 is use the tools in 2018, drawing on that metaphor of a workman who uses the tools. What do I know about tools? I married into a family of workmen, full-time farmers and part-time farmers who also work for the electric company, climbing poles. And guess what I got for Christmas those first several years in that family? It was tools. I mean, that's what they gave each other, tools and tool belts and tool boxes and big flashlights so you could see what you're doing with your tools. I had no idea what some of them were. I definitely didn't know how to use them. But I did learn early on that even a moron like me needs a screwdriver or a wrench, because when dad's not around and father-in-law's not around, those tools kind of save the day at times. And you can sort of figure out how to use them. I think I've told you my change the tire story. I like telling this story. I was 16, started to drive, and my dad took me out to the driveway and proceeded to change the tire on the car, even though the tire wasn't flat. And I was to observe. I was about as disinterested a teenager as a teenager could be that afternoon. I could still feel the humidity and the sweat running down my forehead in New Orleans that day, waiting for it to be over. Well, my dad had a surprise for me the following week. It was an order. Go out to the driveway and change the tire. And I was like, uh-oh. Back then, dads didn't, you know, they gave orders, right? It's like, you just knew. There was like no other option. And so I was like, I wish I had paid attention. And so I fumbled out there for a couple hours, finally changed that tire and got it back off. About a year later, I'm driving down Transcontinental Boulevard, New Orleans, when I blow a tire. I didn't set any NASCAR pit crew records, but I did have that tire off and changed in about 15 minutes. And that's when a teenager can have the light bulb go off. And they realize, man, I'm so glad my mean dad taught me how to change a tire, taught me how to use those tools. Guys that work with tools all the time, nothing's more frustrating to them than not having a tool that they know will do the job at that present moment. I mean, it's like, all I need is this to fix that. We're good, but I don't. There's nothing more frustrating than not having the tool, or if you're like me, not knowing how to use the tools. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, we come helpless. We got no toolbox. We got no tools. We've been doing life, you know, as best as we can on our own devices as we understand truth according to us. And so we come to Jesus, and by his grace, he saves us. But he doesn't leave us with empty hands. He immediately puts a toolbox in our hands, and he begins to administer tools that we are to use as we enjoy this life of sanctification in Jesus Christ. Please hear this. The toolbox is not in order to save you. You were already saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. The toolbox now is to sanctify you as you live out a life of gratitude towards Jesus who saved you. And he doesn't leave you empty-handed. He simply starts to fill up your toolbox. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this. See if I can find it. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. I like that phrase, everything we need. God is pouring into us so that we can enjoy life and reflect his glory in our life. So what we're going to be doing this year is exploring the tools that God has given us and then teaching each other how to use them. When you work with people, when you are making disciples, when you are walking with people through the ups and downs of their lives, you sort of start to use this pat phrase that we use with people that we've developed a relationship with. We say, use your tools, man. Okay, you were feeling some anxiety. All right, tell me about that anxiety. Well, did you call anybody? Did you reach out in fellowship? No, I didn't. You use your tools. One of the tools that God has given you during those. You and your wife, you've been going at it again. Did you use your tools? I mean, has anybody said, I'm sorry? No, we're just, come on. Use your tools. When's the last time you read your Bible? Well, use your tools. This has really been weighing on your heart. This is something you've really been struggling with that's like dominating your life. Have you prayed about this yet? Well, no. Use your tools. I was working with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling him what I would do in his situation, and he said, how do you do that? And it's kind of like, you know, when you've been following Christ or if you're a workman out in the field, a lot of times you start doing stuff, you don't even think about how to do it because you've just been doing it so long. So he asked that question, how do you do that? And I was like, ooh, I got to go back. Okay, so I start remembering how patient Jesus is with me. That's something that goes in my mind. I take that tool, and then now I can be a little more patient towards this situation. That's how I do that particular thing. Now, you've got a toolbox, and you've got tools. The biggest challenge before us is, will we use them? Will we use them in 2018? May we be a church this year that uses our tools and teaches others how to use those same tools, not in order to be saved, but because we are saved by the one who created us and died for us. To him be the glory as we use the tools in 2018. If you need prayer this morning before you go home, if you need counsel or encouragement from another Christian before you go home, if you believe in Jesus Christ and are now ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in baptism before you go home, we want to help you do that. Because whatever you've got going on the rest of your day, I can tell you this, is no more important than you leaving here at peace with God, ready to use your tools. Maybe down front, if we can help, as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming.